I presume to speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The gospel is a bit frightening to me today because it suggests that we may get what we deserve. I say a prayer every morning when I get up, thanking God that I don't get what I deserve. And I would encourage you to do the same. We're talking about paradise, and we're talking about kingdoms and kings. And I want to suggest to you that this gets very confusing. You know, there is a sense in which we have a price to pay. But I want to find out what you think, what images come to your minds when you hear the word paradise. We have to be out of here by 10:30.
San Diego weather.
San Diego weather.
Garden and birds.
Hmm?
Garden and birds.
Garden and birds. Okay.
Bright light.
Bright light. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
It's Eden.
Eden? Do you know where Eden is? Just across the street. You know he's talking about another Eden. Okay. Any other images?
Home.
Home. Is that what I heard? That's good. Will you be happy there? Feel joy there. There's a lot of wonderful images. Now, just to jump around a little bit, next Sunday is the first Sunday of what?
Advent.
And what is the theme of Advent?
Preparation.
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 Preparation for what?
Second coming.
The second coming. Now, what is the world telling us we're preparing for? First of all, economic security. You're going to go and spend more money in the next month in order to keep the national budget balance, buying gifts that everybody needs. So they're celebrating Christmas. And Advent gets no publication at all. I would like to challenge you that when you're in the mall or in the store and they start playing Christmas carols, sing an Advent hymn. Stop right where you are and start to sing. You'll attract much more attention than they'll get over the thing. This season of Advent lasts 4 weeks. But it used to last 6 weeks, and the lessons for today were a part of the Advent season. And the season stretched back to last week, so that the lessons last week were also a part of the Advent season. Preparation for the coming of the kingdom, which means coming to a place where God reigns, where God is in charge. Now, Paul referred in his lesson today to a new birth, to being born again, that Jesus was born anew after death. Being born after death is what paradise is all about. There's another word for paradise in the translations of the Hebrew Bible, And it is indeed the word garden. So when you're in paradise, you're in a garden. Everything in the garden is all you need. All you have to do is enjoy life. All we have to do is to get along with each other. That's the challenge of the Advent season, to prepare not for the birth of a child, but for the birth from death that we will share with Christ. And that birth will welcome us back to Eden, back to the garden, back where we are in intimate relationship with the loving God who came every evening to stroll in that paradise with his creator, his creation. He shared with Adam and Eve a partnership for the care and nurture of the created order. He shares with us that same partnership. We have some responsibilities that we need to take care of. But most of all, it is simply enjoying being who we are, where we are, in light. Now, how many of you remember the story of Genesis and Adam and Eve? It's a good story. What did Adam do to fix it so he was isolated from that garden? I can't hear you. He ate the apple. Oh, now, first of all, I represent the New York State Apple Growers Association. It ain't in the Bible that it's an apple. So don't blame your troubles on apples, okay? It's a piece of fruit, but we don't know exactly what kind of fruit. I don't think they grow apples in Israel. Maybe they do, but I don't think they do. Anyway, so he ate fruit from a tree, and he had been forbidden to do so. Why did he do it?
That was Eve's fault.
Say that again.
It was,
thank you. I'm glad you're accepting responsibility for that.
Basically, it goes back to the snake.
Yeah, okay, good. The serpent came to them and said, are there any rules about what you're supposed to do or not supposed to do in this place? And they said, we're not supposed to eat the fruit of this tree. Well, what'll happen if you do? We'll die. No, you won't. God lied to you. You won't die. You will indeed be as God is. Aha! They took the fruit. Everybody here wants to be God. How many times have you played God yet already this morning? I mean, all of us could have turned up the temperature a little bit outside if we'd have been in charge, right? So, they ate the forbidden fruit because they wanted to be as God is. And what happened to them? They suddenly became acutely aware of themselves and their nakedness. And what was the first thing they did? They ran him. And we're told that they made clothes for themselves out of fig leaves. Have you ever felt a fig leaf? You wouldn't really want to do that. Itchy, itchy, itchy all over the place. So anyway, they ate fruit forbidden. They became aware of themselves and their nakedness and their vulnerability. and they ran and hid. And God came for his usual walk and couldn't find them. So he called out, "Where are you?" They said, "We're hiding." "Why are you hiding?" "We're naked." "Who told you you were naked?" "Nobody. We just found out." "Did you eat the fruit that I told you not to eat?" Adam said, "It was the woman you gave me." Eve said, "It all belongs to the serpent." So they didn't accept any responsibility for what they've done. Why is that? Why do you suppose we don't accept responsibility for what we do or don't do? Part of it, number one of the examples that are clearly obvious today in the press, we might not get reelected. We don't accept responsibility for what we do because we're afraid we can't be forgiven. And where does that fear emerge? From whence does it come? It comes from the fact that we cannot forgive ourselves. That because they ate the forbidden fruit and things changed dramatically, they didn't think they could be forgiven. So they didn't own responsibility for what they did. And as a result, they found themselves outside the gates of Eden, looking in. And we've been sharing that experience with others for centuries and centuries and centuries. That's where we are. So, we are looking forward, not to the birth of the baby, which tells us that God loves us and trusts us and forgives us, but we're waiting for the birth of the risen Christ, so that he will open the door to Eden and usher us in. And there will always be enough. And there will be light in every corner. And the relationships that we share with one another will be of such intimacy that we will never, ever feel alone again. Enjoy your Advent. I hope I hear you sing.